So, all right,
so we derailed because my wife came home. We're going to try to underail
and re-rail.
Re-rail. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I say. Well, well, well. My, my, my. Well, well, well. Let's take a ride. What up, folks? So, yeah, this is a weird drop for Holy Week, and yet here we are. We're going to be talking about summer 2023. Again, if you've been following along, you guys know that I'm just catching up on all the things because of new stuff and babies, and yeah, you've heard the excuses. Anyway, follow us on social media. Easiest place to get us is on Instagram, at Among Wolves Pod. And hopefully you guys found us on Spotify and all the cool places. Obviously, you're listening to this, so enjoy.
4th of July. There's all the movies I want to watch. I still haven't watched them
for
all.
You guys who don't know, Neil is currently on vacation away from his family. He's on vacation from his family.
So we flew out to New York, and we spent a week out there, and we flew into Syracuse direct, which is awesome, because flying to Rochester is terrible.
I did not know that.
Like, there's good flights into Syracuse and Buffalo. No, there's no direct flights to Rochester. So we could get a direct flights into Syracuse twice a week, and then there's a few to Buffalo, and I think, I'm not even sure if there's as many as there used to be, but you still have to drive an hour and a half to get there. So we did that. We hung out for, you know, we had a bunch of family come over and stuff and hang out. Then we drove it's a 6-hour drive. It took longer. Down to, like, the middle of New Jersey off the coast to go to Lisa's cousin's graduation. And we got to see her other cousin who lives in D.C. And some other people came in. It was pretty nice. And we drive back. And then at the end of the week, we drove 3 hours up north to the river house that they have. And we got to see Kevin and Christy and the family all met up. And then I flew home. And then I've been home for, so I'm flying by myself home. And I find out my flight's delayed to go to Charlotte. And in that delay, my connector in Charlotte will then be missed. So I'm getting on the phone. I'm trying to figure this out. And they're like, well, you can fly out tomorrow, but you got to go out to Buffalo. And it's at 11 o'clock. And then you go to Chicago. And then you get to Vegas at like 6 p.m. And I'm like, I'll miss a whole nother day of work. What the heck? And it's like, and I thought about doing the breeze from Syracuse at 8 a.m. so I could get home at like noon on Monday instead of like 10 p.m. on Monday. And then it was going to be hard to get to Syracuse. And it wasn't going to work with my brother-in-law driving me back. And so I said, you know what? I'll just spend the rest of Monday with the family. It'll be good. We'll have a good time. Then all this stuff happens. And I was like, I should have taken that flight. So I'm like, well, that's not going to work. Well, what about Charlotte? What's the earliest flying out of Charlotte the next day? They said, oh, you can get at 7:30 and get home at 9:30. I'm like, sweet, book it. So I said, is there a chance that Charlotte flight to Vegas could be delayed? Maybe. So when I landed in Charlotte, I text Lisa, landed. She says, your flight's delayed. Maybe you could make it. And I was like, sweet. The only problem is I don't have a ticket on that plane. So I got to get there early enough to sit there and say, did anybody on standby take my seat? And can I still get back on this plane? But I still got to get halfway across the airport to get to it. Then what's funny is the pilot goes, all right, I know a lot of you have a layover. How many people have a plane taken off before 9 o'clock? And 80% of the people raise their hands. They're like, well, I ain't getting off of this. And then you have the two ladies behind us. They're like, oh, man, we live in Charlotte. We're good. It's like, oh, great. And I'm literally in like the 24th row. So I'm so far back. So finally I get off the plane. I don't go to the bathroom. I don't do anything. I'm not running the whole time, but I'm going at a real brisk and sometimes running. And I get there. The door probably closed right before I got there.
Oh.
The guy's like, yeah, gotta close the door 10 minutes before it takes off. And I'm like, but it's 11 minutes before it takes off. Come on, dude. And he's like, oh, you can catch the other flight tonight. I said, and he says, yeah, go to the B gates. There's the people that will book you. So I go over there, and that there's this in the B gates. There's like these two ladies at a desk. And then there's a line that's like 50 people. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm not.
Yeah, because half your other flight was.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I bet. So then I found these two girls at one desk. I said, there's no flight to Vegas. I don't see anything up there. What's the guy at the gate saying? Oh, there's a flight to Texas that will get to Vegas. I said, so I get on a flight tonight at 10 o'clock to go to Texas. And I get there at midnight or so. And then I still got leave till tomorrow. Yeah, well, I'd rather just stay here. So then I had to look for a hotel. And it was my fifth choice. So after 4 people were sold out, I went to a Days Inn. That was not the nicest place. But it wasn't there's probably worse out there. So I did okay. So I was able to get a lift there and then a lift back to the airport in the morning. And I got there at like, you know, like I woke up at 5. So I get there before for a 7:30 flight. I'm there before 6. I literally had an hour to wait. So I went and they have these rocking chairs in the middle. I sat and waited for her. And then I flew home. Then I got to watch some Indiana Jones movies.
Nice.
And it's pretty good. And I've also noticed on the Indiana Jones movies, which I love and will always support. But it's just like, I then notice like the convenience of stuff. Because I'm like, oh, in Temple of Doom, like there's a part where they're, what's it called? When Indy's evil and then Shorty burns him and he wakes up and he's back to good and blah, 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 blah. And then around the corner at the temple there is their stuff. Why is it there? But it's right there. And you could see Shorty grab it and give Indy his hat. And that's when he puts it on and it's awesome. And you're like, this is such a great scene.
Where'd that stuff come from?
But I was like, oh, but I saw where it came from. But why was it there other than to give it to him? Yeah. But I also noticed that in like three parts of the movie says, Shorty, grab our stuff. So it's like, okay, we know he's got to get the stuff. But then it's there. Then there's the part in Last Crusade where he and his dad are all tied up and they get in the what's it called? The fireplace, and it swivels around. Oh, yeah. And when they finally swivel around to where the Germans are sitting there plotting stuff and blah, 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 and they keep them in the fireside and lot of all this stuff. Sorry if you haven't seen these movies, which you should have.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you didn't, go watch these movies.
Yeah, so these are the good ones.
And then while they're in that back room and they're going through it, before they figure out that trick staircase down, Indy finds both their stuff. He's like, oh, here, Dad, here's your stuff. It's here on this desk. Yeah, because- and I was like, it's good that they put it there because then you don't go, hey, how did I get his stuff back?
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, it's just right there. Yeah. So I just like noticed this. Or in the beginning of Last Crusade, when he gets away to get, when he's the kid, when he's young Indiana Jones, and he's River Phoenix, and he's going away, and then the guys who are trying to catch him, and they literally get to the end, and they go, whistle, and here comes this truck out of nowhere. Like, was it just waiting for them?
Waiting for the whistle the whole time.
But then followed by the Panama hat guy. And it's like, there's no way he was waiting. I can understand the truck guy was waiting, but this dude was waiting. He's like, oh, good, you got there. But they were going to go until he stole the cross. They were just going to keep digging for more stuff. Yeah. So then I felt bad because I'm like, oh, I'm realizing this stuff. Okay, so that's what I did on the plane.
Yeah.
Then I flew home, so it wasn't that bad. But then I didn't have kids or a wife, so it was nice because then I can go to the bar and drink and play video poker, and then I can eat there. So that worked out great. But then I wanted to watch stuff, but I didn't watch many things.
No, you should have watched Mandalorian Season 3 because there's so much in there that would go well with the show. Like, they literally have – they treat the Mandalorians like a real religion. And it's great. And so, like, they have, like, a baptism for the washing away of sins. And they quite literally do it. And one of them has a mystical experience that she's not sure if it was real or if it was or if it wasn't. And it was like, this is great. Like, there's so much stuff to unpack there that I'll watch it again whenever you're ready to watch
it. Okay. Because I got to watch it. Because that's one of the things I said is, oh, I have all this time. I can watch Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then I didn't. And then you know what bugged me too? Is while I'm at the bar, hanging out, having a good time, there's no good sports on TV. Not even baseball. It's like the other day I was out and they're like, oh, here's a replay of 2021's hot dog eating contest. It's like, I don't want to watch this. One thing I'll give it, like, I don't like watching a hot dog eating because they like dunk it.
Yeah, it's always gross.
It's gross. But I do like the beginning where they're like introducing people and there's like a carnival barker. It's like a lot of good fanfare for a thing I want to watch. You know, I love the beginning of things. Like, I love the beginning of the Super Bowl and stuff like that when they introduce the teams. But I also like watching the game. Yeah. This one, I can watch the beginning. And then I'm like, can't watch it. Just show the media. So, but it was like nothing good. And then there's like documentaries on, which I do like, but I don't want to see it at a bar. I want to like, because you can't listen to it. And then my air conditioner was out for 3 days.
That's a good time for it to be out when you don't have the kids and wife.
That is true because I stayed downstairs.
Yeah.
And then that was the other thing. I was like scared to go home. I wasn't scared, but it's just like, I didn't want to.
Right.
Because every time I went home, it was uncomfortable. And then it's like, oh, and then like there's clutter and it's like, I can clean this stuff. And then all I do is get super hot. And then I kept like taking my shirt off and putting half my body into the shower just to freeze myself. But I did do some yard work in the front when it was still before it was 110, when it was only like 105.
Yeah.
So I did that and got rid of dead bush. So I felt like I accomplished a little bit in the beginning. But then because it's 4th of July, I was like, great, I can watch all the 4th of July movies that I can't always watch. So I watched Jaws, because I love Jaws.
Yeah.
And then, as I was telling you in GV earlier, so we had to record this so it sounds better. The problem is, like my dad loved Jaws, and then, like, Sarah, my sister, loves Jaws. So there's all these little lines that I'm like, oh, those are the lines that we always say. And then I started missing my dad there. And then it's just like, oh. And then the problem is they always have a Twilight Zone marathon at 4th of July and like New Year's. And then I was watching a few. And then it's like, oh, I got to watch this one. And then it's like, after that, it's like, oh, I haven't seen this one before. And then there's, then after that one was like, ooh, but this one's really good. And I love all those Twilight Zones. And one thing I also love is like watching them to see, ooh, who's the actor who became bigger later? You know, because I was just like, I've never seen this one. Oh, there's James Colburn in it. Like, I didn't know he was in this episode. This is great. So, but then the thing too is, now going back to the sappy things where I'm going to cry, is like, is I used to tell my, is like my mom would always watch Twilight Zone too. So when we meet up, like when we go to Sarah's house or something, and I'd say, oh, mom, guess what? You'll never believe which episode I watched yesterday. This is Living Doll, the one where the doll kills Telly Savalas. I mean, spoiler alert. And then she'll be like, oh, I love that one. Did you see this one where the, you know, where the thing's on the wing for William Shatner? I said, yeah. No, but I got to watch the very end. So it was on. I did get to see that this year too.
Nice.
And the Living Doll. And the one where Burgess Meredith reads all his books, and then there's the nuclear explosion. So, and To Serve Man, that was a good one too. That's the one with Kane and Kodos in it.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the one it's based on.
That's based off of that one. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So, but it actually stars Richard Kiel, who's Jaws from the James Bond movies, and he's also Happy Gilmore's old boss, the big giant guy with the nail on his head. But he doesn't say anything, but he's just, you know, he's 7'2", so
right. They
put him in some space makeup. Which sucks now that you got HDTV, so I could see the lines on the stuff. Where, you know, you didn't see that on a 12-inch Zenith. Nope. But, so then I got sad because I was like, oh, I can't wait to tell mom this. So I, oh, no, my mom's dead. So then I sound sad there. And then I was like in an emotional state because I watched Music Man, which I also love, which is also a family favorite too, so it's even harder. But then there's the part, this is what I was going to say. There's a part I was going to tell you, TV, but Jeeves listening. Yeah. So there's a part in the middle where they have the Wells Fargo wagon, and there's the song, the Wells Fargo wagon song.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, don't let him pass my door. Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. I wish I knew what he was coming for.
And there's even a great shot where they have, in a sense, like everybody in town, and they do the dolly cam or whatever, the one on the track, where it does one whole shot, it goes down while they sing, and somebody have a little extra line, it pauses. It's one shot the whole way. I was like, oh, I never noticed that as a kid. But now my good keen eye can see that, my film eye. And then I'm like, this is always great. But the best part is at the very end, the doors open, and it's all da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And Harold Hill, the star of the show, jumps out with a new cornet, or, you know, it's a trumpet. And he's there, and he goes and finds Winthrop. Winthrop's the little boy who's played by little Ronnie Howard, who's Ron Howard. At 10 or something like that. Yeah. So he goes up to him, and he gives him the trumpet, and he's like, this is yours. And the thing that the thing about the character of Winthrop is his dad died like 2 years ago, and he barely talks, and he has a lisp. And so he doesn't talk because of the lisp, but he's also very mopey, and he has a trouble dealing with his father's death at such a young age. And here he has such joyousness when he gets this trumpet, and he tells his sister, Shirley Jones, who looked pretty hot back then, and he's like,
Sister, isn't this the most scum to a solid gold thing you ever saw? I never thought I'd ever see anything so scum to as a solid gold thing. Oh, sister.
And it's like, he's so excited, and she sees the joy in that, that even though she knows that Harold Hill's a flim-flam artist, she sees the greatness that he brought and the joy to her brother. And then you're like, oh, and I kept crying. It was just like, oh, and that had nothing to do with mom and dad. That's just me because of a softie. Oh,
yeah.
So like, that was giving me. And then the end, I was crying. I was like, I shouldn't cry all the time. Oh no, I did it younger too.
That yeah, no, Neil cries. Yeah, just as much as he did. You know,
I used to cry. Like, oh man, there's one time my mom and I, we watched a Hallmark movie or something with Betty White and what's it called? Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's a good movie, but the problem is each commercial break they had a Hallmark commercial, and every one of them, I'm like, oh, the dad saved every one of their Father's Day cards in a drawer. Oh, because these, you know, 30-something-year-old girls are like, oh, we got to move you, mom and dad. Open up the drawer. And it's like, oh, this is every card we've ever gave him. And he's like, oh, he saved them all. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, I hope there's no other sad songs commercials. Oh, this one's sad too. I keep crying. So I didn't even cry at the movie yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad at that. Oh, I do that stuff. But I used to do that all the time. But the problem is, like, when you start drinking and then you get all emotional. So I remember, you know, when I was in my 20s or something, and I would, like, mix, like, vodka and Gatorade. And then I'd be up at night, and then I'd watch, like, Clone Wars cartoons. And then I'm like, oh, Padme and Anakin love each other so much. I can't believe this doesn't work out.
That's so sad. So you took a vacation away from your family to walk around, watch movies, and cry by yourself.
Kind of.
You need emotional. This was emotional healing for Neil.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. But then I do that stuff anyway, I guess. Yeah. But I got rid of Big Dead Bush in our front yard, so I feel a little accomplished.
There you go.
And I got to watch movies. So I watched the Indiana Jones movies. Oh, I also had to watch I didn't get to finish Last Crusade on the planes. On the two flights. So I got to watch the end of Last Crusade and then Crystal Skull. And then on the 3rd of July, I watched Isle of Destiny with my cousin. So it was good. Because I was literally, when I saw that it was coming out like June 28th or whatever, and I said, that's between our trips. This is when I'm by myself. So I like call up Jason. I said, we have to see this movie. And the problem is he works at night. So it's like, I got to figure out when we can see this movie. But and then I got to watch The Flash too.
Nice.
With my buddy Adam. So we did that one of the first days.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, we got to watch The Flash, too, and I thought it was okay. I thought it was good compared to Shazam and the other one that came out. What was the other one? There was another one that came out, wasn't there?
A DC film.
Was there another one?
The last one was the Shazam and the...
Oh, Black Adam.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's the other Shazam.
The other Shazam.
The other Captain Marvel movie.
Both those were not super great. Like, the second Shazam was better. Did you see it yet?
Yeah, I saw that. That one was one where Jason said, hey, what are you doing Saturday night? Nothing. Let's go. And I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
And now he goes out late because he works nights, so he could stay out late because his body's late, where usually his, like, oh, it's like 11:30. I got it. So I was like, cool, let's go.
Nice.
So it was all right. Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it, too.
But I didn't love it.
Right, exactly. It was just, it was a good story, and it just wasn't, like, nothing super profound. You felt like, where's Black Adam? And it kind
of
felt weird.
First of all, I already thought that your second Captain, your second Shazam movie should be Shazam versus Captain Adam. And
Captain Adam.
Captain Adam's a different guy. Captain Marvel and Black Adam, but now he's not
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, no, even though he should be. There is a Captain Adam, and he's the nuclear guy.
Yeah.
And he's
the
not
whole time in the show where it's like, he's got to say his name. We're like, it's Captain Marvel.
Oh, we're just trying to figure out a name.
What his name?
He's like, I got to figure out a name.
I thought that was a great gag because, like, anybody who knows the show, like, your name's Captain Marvel. That's the thing. But I just thought it was really funny.
No, but then at the end, he's like, your name's Shazam. And it's like, no, your name's Shazam. You're the wizard Shazam. But now the wizard's not Shazam, he's just the wizard. The wizard. But so I like that, because what I also do is I kind of have I always like the other orphans.
Yeah, I like that aspect of it. I did not like the ending of the movie, so I thought it was bad, but right.
Yeah, but I like the orphans because when I saw them in the comics, I liked them. My biggest problem, though, is they give Mary a red costume and Billy has a red costume.
They give her the Pink Ranger costume.
No, but the point is here's the thing, everybody else has a different color.
Yes.
Except for Mary.
Yes.
She has the same as Billy. Now, I understand that the original Mary Marvel back in the 40s had a red costume. So it was Billy and Mary had red and Captain Marvel Jr. had blue. Also, if you didn't know, Captain Marvel Jr. is the inspiration for Elvis's outfit in the 70s when he got the big collar and stuff.
Yeah.
He's copying Captain Marvel Jr. because he used to read Captain Marvel Jr. comics.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Freddy's character is Captain Marvel Jr. who wore blue. So when they had the other characters, they added green, gray, and purple. But here's the thing that bugs me. Is in the 90s, in the Power of Shazam comic book by Jerry Ordway. Cue the music. Neil's Comic Corner.
Welcome to Neil's Comic Corner.
In the 90s, Jerry Ordway did the Power of Shazam, and he retconned the Captain Marvel story for post-crisis, which they originally did in the 80s, but then they kind of pretended that didn't happen. So it's like 1990 or so they did this, and then they had Power of Shazam series to follow that graphic novel. And in that series, Mary had a red costume. And then after a bit, she changed her costume to white. So for a good hunk of the 90s, it was red, white, and blue.
That makes sense.
But there is no white costume in the movies now. So it should be so easy for Mary to have a white costume. And there's no reason for her to wear a red costume because there is no 1940s Mary Marvel for her to wear, you know? So it's already something that's established too. And it looks good. It really looks good on her that way. And then later in the early 2000s, in the mid 2000s or late 2000s, she became evil and had a black costume and hung out with Captain Adam and Isis, or Black Adam and Isis and Osiris.
Yeah.
And they were the Black Marvel family or the evil Black Marvel family. But then, and because there was already the other Marvel family, that was the thing. And then, so when you have Black Adam, and Black Adam was pretty close to Black Adam.
Yeah.
Because somewhere in the 2000s, Geoff Johns kind of made Black Adam a little more of an anti-hero. And I don't know if it's just because he liked him so much. And he put him
That's what happens with a lot of those characters, though, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then he put him on the JSA. So he was working with the Justice Society for a bit and then stuff like that. But so that's why they had the Justice Society as his, you know, antagonist or something. But
yeah.
Or where they were supposed to be the protagonist. But, you know, so. But that was. So that movie was okay, too. But they took a lot of the New 52 origin with him and stuff like that. So, I mean, they were okay movies. Right. Right. That's my problem. There's no DC movies. I'm like,
wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one I thought was better than the last two, though. The Flash, I thought was, I mean, it's just a better story in general. Like, Flashpoint is a great story.
I was going to say, it's already a Flashpoint story. Right. Exactly. Also written by Geoff Johns. But
yeah. And so I thought that was great.
That's my little problem with it is because Flashpoint was a big deal story.
Right.
Which is where you first get the five or six, what's it called? Marvel family kids, the orphans, the Billy Batson and all his guys. There was only the three forever. And they added the Eugene and Pedro and Darla in the Flashpoint story.
That's funny.
So their original incarnations were really from a different universe.
Yeah.
And those guys did a Captain Planet.
That's funny.
So they all kind of made
one person.
They all kind of made like Captain Thunder or something.
Not Captain Planet, because that would have made more sense.
Yeah. But and that was another thing, which is funny, that they kind of show you in the movie, but they don't explain it. Because if you notice, Eugene used a lot of lightning, and Darla was really fast.
Yeah.
That's the point, was Eugene's specialty was the lightning part. Darla was the fast part. Like, Pedro was like the strength, stuff like that. Yeah. So they were all supposed to be split up, and each one had a little more of a power, so that when they combined together, like how the, you know, fire, wind, water, earth.
Right, right.
Heart.
Oh, by your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
That poor South American kid getting heart.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with a monkey. It's like, heart, come on.
And everybody else is like, you know, Avatar Earthbenders here. And
yeah, exactly. Because everybody was kicking butt. Like, yeah. That Russian broad was like, yep. Russian broad, that's something. The Russian girl sitting there with the wind.
Yeah, no, not the poor little South American kid. And yeah. Hart.
I forgot what his name was.
He friend.
Yeah, kind of. But so they did Care that. Bear. But it was a big deal. And there was a whole story with Aquaman and the Atlanteans having war with Wonder Woman and the Amazons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Which made a whole lot of sense.
You watched the cartoon, didn't you?
I sure did. I loved it.
Here's the thing. I've never watched the cartoon.
Oh, it's so good.
And I forgot that they had the cartoon.
Yeah.
So when people be like, oh, yeah, and then there's this part. And I'm like, how do you know this? Like, who read Flashpoint? And it was like, because I read Flashpoint when it came out.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story. And then the whole point of it is at the end is it made the New 52 universe.
Right.
So the idea is he kind of ruins it. And I thought at the end of this Flash movie, he should come back as a different actor. Because that way they can be like, oh, bye-bye Ezra Miller and all your crazy baggage.
Yeah, that would have been a trip.
Yeah, there was way too much crazy CGI stuff that I didn't
there
like.
There was a lot of CGI stuff I didn't care for.
Now, I didn't mind it in the times. When they were like stuck in time, more spoilers about the movie.
So, oh, for the end of the film?
No, even in the middle when he went back in time and he could see things from earlier.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, that's like a surreal, weird way. But like when he's like saving the people in the hospital and the that babies and stuff, weird. It's like, the okay, they all look way too fake.
Yeah, those looked creepy. That was a problem. And then I thought I liked the gags that they threw in for just time travel and things like that. But I thought they kind of like overdid it a little bit with the Batman stuff. Like, did George Clooney really need to come back?
Dude, you shouldn't even say that.
Spoilers. What I'm just saying, like, it's just one of those things. Like,
you should bleep that out. That's too much of a good part.
That's weird. I don't think that was a good part. I was like, that's like.
No, but it's hilarious.
It is funny. But then, like, what do you do with
it to be? I think originally they were thinking of putting, I think they were saying something about having Michael Keaton back and the black-haired Supergirl somehow came back.
In the
reestablished timeline.
Oh, interesting.
I think that was originally an idea, and then they said...
What would have made more sense, like, if they just put Robert Pattinson, so they just trying to throw a bunch of money at
I don't the latest to the new Batman movie,
reboot.
The Batman 2. But that's not supposed to be working with it, so I don't know.
The timeline is all jacked up.
Because I literally thought this would be a good way to be like, okay, done, and now we'll start all the James Gunn superhero movie stuff.
Right, they could have done whatever they wanted to. But the because here's the other problem you have with that. It's like, what's his bat suit look like? Nipples or no nipples?
It has to have.
Right. You're going to have half the internet being like, there better be nipples on a suit.
They're never going to show him. He's never going to have a suit.
No, he's in there now.
This is all dead.
Is it?
Yes. James Gunn's coming and torching the whole thing.
Oh.
He's like Carthage. He's burning all down and throwing salt on the earth.
So,
because even at the end of Black Adam, when they're like, guess what? Here comes Henry Cavill. You never thought you'd see him again in a Superman suit. Guess who's going to be Superman? Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
The one thing I like is I don't know who this new Superman is. And that's the way I liked with Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Because he was great because nobody knew who he was.
That's the thing. And some people be like, oh, yeah, I saw him in the Tudors. And I said, that's the thing. What did you say? You said, he's that guy from the Tudors. That means he's not somebody because you didn't say his name. Like, right. It's not Ben Affleck. It's, right. Oh, that guy from Good Will Hunting. That would be different.
Yeah.
You know, so I want more of those guys. I hate the fact that we hire a lot of these superheroes and be like, oh, I mean, I think it is also crazy that I live in a world where it's like, oh, Robert Redford's going to be in a Captain America movie or something like that, you know. But the other part, I was like, I want a guy who looks like Superman.
Right.
And I don't know who he is. And that's the way I felt like with all the superheroes. And then, of course, nowadays we're throwing diversity and stuff or whatnot. So they don't look like the characters. So there's part of me that's like, okay, well, I guess that could be the movie version is like that. But then the part is, it's like Ezra Miller doesn't look like the Flash.
No, but he's a great Flash.
He's a good Flash, but as that. But also Grant Gustafson.
He's just a dumpster fire as a person.
Yeah. You know what's funny is watching the movie, I didn't think about any of his dumpster fireness. So I'm like, all right, that works.
Because you believe him as a Flash. I did. Think it's fantastic.
But I love Grant Gustafson's Flash from the TV show. He didn't look like the Flash either.
Yeah.
The guy who looked like the Flash was the guy who was Iris's boyfriend in season one, who was like the reverse Flash's ancestor. And I sat there and I said, that's the guy who should be playing Barry Allen. Because Barry Allen's like blonde buzz cut guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know? Yeah. And even when they had the Justice League cartoon, it was Wally West. And he looked like Wally West, redheaded guy with long hair.
Right.
Well, not too long, but
needed
a haircut. But, all right. So, the Flash was pretty good. But the one part I didn't like is the fact that it's like, I like it, but Flashpoint is so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Flashpoint is a lot better, but it was still good.
And I'm still wrapping my head around the
paradox.
Well, the dead mother who kills the mom.
Yeah, no, they didn't go into any of that either.
Yeah, because the reverse Flash kills his mom.
Right.
But the other thing is there's no reverse Flash in this. Nope. And the other thing, too, is I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that Barry Allen's mom died because she didn't die. You know, it's literally like it is. Like, if you read the comics now, it's Barry's like, oh, I have to live my whole life because my mom died.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, your mom didn't die for 50 years. Because The Flash came out in 1956, and then in 1985, 86, somewhere around there. He dies in Crisis on Infinite Earths, probably in the early half, so it's in 85. So, he runs in the Speed Force and disappears, and he never comes back. They have him in, like, flashbacks and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, 2008, so that's 20 years later, he comes back. 23 years. Then he comes back, and then after that, boom, he's got a dead mom. It's like, what happened there? How did that happen?
And then it's always been this way.
And then you find out it's not really because it's time traveling Professor Zoom. The reverse Flash did it. And you're like, oh, that makes sense. But now that's the thing that in the TV show and in the movies, it's happened. Yeah. So, but I mean, it gives it more depth to the character because he didn't have a lot of depth before. It was just like Iris used to be really naggy about him. She used to just bust his chops all the time for being late. He was always late, even though he's the fastest man alive. And she'd always
bust I always like that gag for the Flash.
That he was always late and he's so fast.
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of neat, and it made him. That was always the Peter Parker thing too that I liked.
Peter Parker
was always late, and his life was always a mess.
Right. My problem is that sometimes Peter Parker went too far. It's like, boy, how Charlie Brown can you get?
That is true, isn't it?
It's like Charlie Brown looks at you, looks at you, and goes, "Well, at least it's not that bad."
Yeah, maybe that's why I like him because I like Charlie Brown.
But I felt like that was the problem with like Peter Parker. There used to be parts I'm like, "Really, dude? You don't need to crap on this guy's like that much." You know what are you doing, writers? And I understand like DC Comics for like 20 years. In a sense, it was plot driven, like the characters had no personality. Like, if you kept switched all the word bubbles for Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Flash, and Hawkman, they didn't have any differences until like 1970.
That's funny.
And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, look, personality. Like, you know, you had Green Lantern was kind of a stiff or, you know, like, you know, oh, I'm getting the job done. And then you had Green Arrow was like, hey, I'm bleeding heart liberal and I'm going to show you all this crazy stuff. And then you had Hawkman at the time was like, and I'm super conservative guy. That's why we don't get along. And it was like, it's like, this is cool.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. You want to wrap this thing up?
I guess.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Any other? Oh, and watch Indiana Jones. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
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 I mean, not my favorite.
Right.
Still good.
What is your favorite?
Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Lost Ark, yeah. That
makes sense. Is still, this weekend, there's still a big sweet spot for Temple of Doom, though.
Really? That's funny.
As I watched that thing about 30 times one summer.
The first Indiana Jones I ever saw was Last Crusade.
Oh, really?
That was the very first one I ever saw. I've only seen Temple of Doom a handful of times, so... That one, I think my parents were like trying to shield me from that one.
Well, it was a little more intense.
Yeah, it was.
That started PG-13.
Was it Temple of Doom that did, or was it Raiders of the Lost Ark that did?
No, Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom did.
Because Temple of Doom came out, it was a PG movie.
Uh huh.
And so was Gremlins, both Spielberg. So it was Gremlins, and I don't know if Red Dawn. Red Dawn was either the one of the three, or it was the first PG-13, somewhere around there. So the fact was, Temple Doom was not an R movie, but boy, it was pretty
right. Where he's pulling the heart out of some guy,
yeah, and people burning, and Kali, and kids getting whipped, and all that stuff. And it then it's
intense.
Yeah, and then you got and then Gremlins was not scary enough or gory enough for an R, but boy,
it ruined Christmas.
It did for pure Phoebe Cates. That story. Oh, goodness, with the Santa Claus. Okay. But the fact is, so because those movies came out, they said, we got to make something than just PG. Yeah. So that's how they invented PG-13.
Yeah, I knew it was an Indiana Jones. I just thought it was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, because...
the face melting off thing.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, because that was a PG movie too.
Actually, that got edited too, because if you watch when Belloc's face explodes, there's a big cloud of smoke in that explosion. That's covering some of the grossness of the explosion. So...
that makes it better.
Well, that's the idea, is it was, it covers it, so it's not as graphic. Yeah. And that's what toned it down so that it can make a PG. It's like how all the, like every Friday the 13th movie, if they're all technically X-rated, because there was no thing past R. Like nowadays, you'd, or,
NC-17,
okay, though. Actually nowadays, not even nowadays, it would have been 15 years ago, they'd be like, watch Friday the 13th part 2, the unrated edition on DVD, you know, because they'd always sell those unrated versions that is like 15 seconds different. So all these Friday the 13ths were technically X-rated because they'd be too intense for R, and then they have to cut back on some of the goriness to get the R rating.
Gotcha.
And then I've also loved on how some movies would put so much extra gore or something in some parts, they just make it worse. So that they could be like, oh, you can't show that. Oh, okay, we'll cut it. And then they ignore everything else.
That's that. Yeah, because then there's like, how much stuff can we sneak into a PG-13 movie and still make it PG-13?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what was it? Hitchcock did that with Psycho. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, you see too much in the shower, which you don't see anything or whatnot. So it's like, oh, okay. So whatever pre-MMPA or whatever.
Right.
MPAA. What is it? Motion Picture Association of America. MPAA. Before that, whatever was that made, you know, pass or fail, the Hays Code kind of stuff for movies. And they'd be like, you can't show this. And he's like, okay, I'll cut it. And then he sent it back. And then they're like, oh, all this is wrong. And it's like, it's the exact same movie. And now they're finding different things. So he'll cut it again. And he sent it back. And he didn't change anything all three times.
I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Something like that. Like, I think he literally, like, shook the can and said, oh, I guess that's it. And he's like, and they didn't realize they watched the same movie every time. And they're like, oh, I'm glad you fixed that. But this is wrong.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So... But yeah, I watched Temple of Doom a bunch this one summer because my parents had it on a cassette.
Nice.
And it was like that, Top Gun, and maybe Secret of My Success or something was on its cassette. And I watched Temple of Doom a bunch. And I'm like, Dad, you want to watch Temple of Doom? And he's like, no. I said, how about Top Gun? Okay. So I watched that. But yeah, so there's parts of that that I was just like, you know, like I'm saying the words before. And I'm like, I don't think I've watched this whole movie in 10 years or probably 20 years. So there's a sweet spot for that. All the music cues, there's like brings back stuff and everything like that. But Raiders of the Lost Ark is probably like one of my favorite movies. It's like the top three, like that and like Empire Strikes Back and Godfather.
Or just up there.
Yeah, maybe Jaws. They're like all like my friends. So like I can watch Empire Strikes Back or Return of the or Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh yeah, when we saw Empire Strikes Back,
yeah,
for the Star Wars Day,
that was great.
And we saw. Did we tell the audience that?
I don't think so.
So we went on
May 4th.
May 4th, to the Henderson Dollar Loan Center, and we got to you know, where our local minor league hockey team plays, and they had the movie play with the Henderson Symphonic Orchestra, Philharmonic Orchestra.
Whatever it was, but it was great.
It was a live orchestra there playing all the music to the movie, so it was great. And then my problem was when it was done, I was like, oh, now I need to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because all the music's very similar, because it was his next movie, exactly, pretty much. Yeah.
They should do that. Do a Raiders of the Lost Ark Day where they have the orchestra come out.
Oh, yeah, they can. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So. I've seen The Last Crusade the most. Definitely seen that one the most of all of them. So that one probably is my favorite. I can quote that one more than the other. But I do really like Raiders of the Lost Ark. I thought that was a story. Mm-hmm. And the iconic scenes of like the tank, I think the tank is great.
Oh, from Last Crusade? Yeah, the tank scene's great. Yeah, I had a whole thing that I wanted to set up a stunt show at Disneyland kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I literally tracked out how the tank scene would go on a piece of paper. I sat there to do the thing where it hits the car and rolls over the car, and the trick of when it rolls over the car, like there'd be a thing that lowers the car so it looks like it's getting smushed underground, and the tank could go over, and how the track would look. Because I watched that scene and like would study it, like, oh, here's how it goes. And you'd have a guy, Indiana Jones, on a horse, and he'd do this and that.
Yeah,
tank scene's great.
That was a great scene.
I saw that in the theater, and that was a big deal because, like, I remember, like, oh, here's a new Indiana Jones movie. And I know it's only like 5 years after the last one, but when you're like 10, like 5 years ago, it was like forever. And it's like, oh my goodness, they're going to have Indiana Jones. I can't wait. And I remember watching Raiders of the Lost Ark on TV. So it was like on ABC, Saturday Night Movie. And the thing is, they're like, wait till the end of the movie before the news comes on. We're going to show you a preview of that new movie coming out this summer. And I'm like, so I watched.
Do you remember the Coca-Cola commercial that was before the, did they show that before? It came out on the VHS release of one of the films. I want to say it was Last Crusade.
Oh, it would probably be.
Where they had the Coca-Cola commercial.
It's like date night and then the lady's got to get through the kitchen or something.
And then I remember that commercial. I was like, this is great. It's like a mini Indiana Jones before you watch Indiana Jones.
I did see that. And I don't remember seeing on the VHS or anything, but I saw it. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, I love those. Yeah, because I remember there was like for License to Kill or something. Schweppes Ginger Ale did a thing with John Cleese for James Bond stuff or something. And they're like, it was before License to Kill, which came out the same years Last Crusade. Actually, if you look at 1998, one of the best years for movies. We'll go over it someday. But and I was amazed like how many movies I saw in the theater that year, and I was 10, so it's like I went a lot, I guess, or I had somebody taking me, like, so. But yeah, Last Crusade. But when I had to stay up late till like 10 o'clock or whatever before, or 11, whenever the local news came on, and got to watch those 30 seconds of the Last Crusade coming up, I was like, oh, nice. Boy. And then even when we went to the movies and Dad and took me and Sarah, and I said, we got to watch Indy. He's like, how about we watch Star Trek 5? It's PG. The other one's PG-13. We got Sarah with us. And I'm like, okay. Then, oh, crap. Now, I was crying about Jaws because of my dad.
There you go. Cry about Star Wars.
It was Star Trek 5, which is most people will say is the worst Star Trek movie. I was going to say,
that's not a good one.
And literally, what was it? It was about 2 years ago or something, maybe three. And I think maybe Dad was dead for less than a year. And I'm watching it, and I remembered we went to the theater. And all the time that the Klingons talked on the Bird of Prey, it was all in subtitles. So I remember Dad whispering all the lines to Sarah. So she kind of had an idea. And it was really sweet the way he did it and stuff. So then when they did that, I remembered that. And then I started just crying. And I went upstairs, and I was telling Lisa, because she already went to bed, because I was, you know, I'll watch the movies at night. That's the problem. And then I'm just like, I'm crying over Star Trek 5. Star Trek,
the most emotional of all the Star Treks. Like, Wrath of Khan can suck it.
I don't know why I'm crying so much. Oh, because Dad said it to Sarah. Because there's so much where I feel like I held my parents' deaths like so tough. And then there's other times I'm like, goo.
Yeah.
But it's usually something stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's always the thing, though, isn't it? Yeah.
I guess. Oh, you're right. You handle grief from like movies or something.
Yeah.
Or like smells. That's the thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my sister has a bottle of my grandma's perfume that she kept. And she says every so often she'll spray some just to remind her something. Yeah. Yeah. Star Trek 5. So that's Star Trek 5. Yeah. I don't know how. Yeah. We'll go over retrospective. You know, what was funny was, I think it was in 2013 or something, or maybe it was 2019. I said, hey, the anniversary year, we should have a movie marathon of all the 1998 or 1989 movies. That's great. And I said, but if we do horror movies, it's going to be bad because it's Halloween 5 and Nightmare on Elm Street 5 and Friday the 13th Part 8 all came out. And I can tell you, those are some of the worst.
So not a good year for horror films.
Not a good year for horror films.
We should do, I think that'd be funny to take some of these really bad, like classically bad movies, like, and do like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 bit.
For it.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But also try to find something good in them. Like, oh, no, we're going to make this good. This would be good if. But wouldn't that be a good segment? Star Trek V would be good if.
I don't know. Isn't that kind of like how it should have ended?
No, how it should have ended is not. Never. They never make movies better. That's half the time. Like, if it ended that way, the movie would suck. But it's just like they just point out the major flaws. And so, but this would be like, no, this is going to be, we're going to make this.
Or you think, better. Or we, or
like
no.
When you say, like, the prequels wouldn't be bad if what's his name acted. Was it, if we had a different
actor. There was a different director who knew how to direct actors.
Yeah.
Because if you actually read the script, you're like, you know what? This movie's not that bad. But then again, I like the stories of the prequels much more now, too, because I'm not, well, as my friends will say, you're just a sequel hater. I'm not a sequel hater. Oh, also, now watch the Indiana Jones movies. Yeah. I realized the more between formulaic callbacks and straight up ripoffs. Like Force Awakens, I don't like because it's just retelling Star Wars, right?
Yes.
Like a Lego sequel.
Yeah.
Which I understand if it is like a Lego sequel, but it's not. It's part 7. It's not like Star Wars again, you know.
It is Star Wars again.
But it's not called that. It's not like Star Wars Returns or something, but it's supposed to be part 7, you know. So that's the thing. But the fact that in like...
Wasn't that one of our first episodes where we talked about The Force Awakens as like A New Hope 2?
Maybe, because our first episode is episode 1 or episode 4, A New Hope.
A New Hope. Episode 1, one episode, is
episode 4.
I think that really is. Oh, that's a callback.
That's a callback, yeah. But see, I don't mind the callback kind of stuff. The fact that, you know, like in Indiana Jones, they like had the part where the guy with the big sword comes out and he just shoots him. And then in Temple of Doom, two guys with swords come out and they're like, ha! And he's like, psh, I'll just shoot these guys. And then he's like, oh, I forgot. I don't have a gun anymore. Yeah, yeah. And then he has to fight them. And then when he chases the guys, he sees that there's more guys and runs back and all the guys chase him, which is almost a mirror image of Han Solo chasing the stormtroopers.
Oh, getting that's
the
so
end
funny.
And running and they have to chase him. But the fact that it's like, there's always a gross out scene or something like, or something where it's like there's snakes, then there's bugs, then there's rats, then there's like fire ants, and then in the new movie, I guess there's bugs again or something. But the idea is it's something different, but it's something like a bunch of things you don't want crawling on you, you know, or slithering on you. And then there's other things like faces melt and hearts get ripped out and the Donovan gets really old, stuff like, and I guess they didn't do too much in the other one, the Crystal Skull. But it's like there's always... Movie. It's always something like that, you know? So it's like another... There's always that big guy, like...
Yeah.
And what's funny is some of them are all played by the same dude. But
didn't I kill you in the last movie?
Yeah. And actually, they killed the guy, the same guy, twice in Raiders. He's the big guy from Nepal who beats him up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's also the mechanic, the German mechanic who gets killed by the blade.
That's so funny.
But you got that big dude. Then there's the big Indian guy who's really played by old big British dude. who's the one he fights who gets crushed. Then I guess they're saying it's the guy he fights, the general on the tank who falls over the side. And then even in Crystal Skull, it's the Russian general or the Russian lead Russian guy who is the tough guy who doesn't talk much who gets eaten up by the ants, but he's the bigger menace. So, and in this movie, there's another big dude. So there's always a big dude or something like that. So there's always something like that. So it's like, it's formulaic. Like in Star Wars, there's a duel.
Yeah.
A lightsaber duel in the third act every time. So then when you get to Last Jedi, I hate it because there's not a real lightsaber duel. It's fake Luke Skywalker not fighting Adam Driver. You know, it's like, oh. And then people are like, no, you got to look at when they're fighting the Red Guards and it's so awesome. I said, that's not the same thing. It's not a lightsaber duel. They're
that
fighting.
Was a cool fight, though.
I'm not saying it's not. I think it's probably one of the best fights in all of Star Wars.
Probably,
Probably one of the better fights. Because I'll say there's some of the best parts of Last Jedi, even though there's so much stuff I hate.
You know what? You want to know something about the Mandalorian Season 3?
What?
The Red Guards show up.
See? The same ones?
Same ones.
See? But when they fight those guys, it's awesome. Yeah. It's super awesome. But they're fighting with lightsabers against people without lightsabers who are different, and they're not fighting each other.
Yeah.
And it's so I said it's just like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon fighting a bunch of battle droids if you think about it.
Yeah.
And you'll say, but that's lame. And I said, yeah, but it's the same because it is. If they're fighting each other, which they do in the other two movies, but they don't. And they don't say, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I have a bad feeling about this.
Which is bad because they should say that.
Yeah.
But they don't. And then they said, oh, no, that's what BB-8 says when Poe Dameron goes, think happy thoughts, buddy, think happy thoughts. But you don't know.
Nope, they just had to put it because.
So nine movies. Eight of them have, I have a bad feeling about this.
Eight of them have lightsaber battles.
Right.
But of? sequels.
All of you, all except one. And who said that? Jesus. About Judas. And that's The Last Jedi is Judas.
And yet, of all the sequels, that's the best one.
What? Oh, The Last
Jedi.
I guess if you're looking at it from a movie standpoint, I would have to agree.
Yeah.
But I love Rise of Skywalker, which is stupid. Because, and it's stupider when you read, like, the Golden Book, because it breaks down the story into 20 pages.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is even worse. But the thing I like about Rise of Skywalker is it feels like Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's Poe sits there. He's like, he gets back and what's it called? What'd you do to my droid? What'd you do to the Millennium Falcon? I asked you first. Blah, 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 blah. Walking carpet. Stuff like that, you know? It felt like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It felt like they're a group of people. Because I understand in Empire Strikes Back, they took the band and broke them up. But they were there in the beginning. Actually, they only share one scene. The scene where she kisses them and they all hang out in the recovery room. That's the only scene that all the main characters are in the whole movie.
Oh, really?
Empire Strikes Back. Funny. But you got them all together in the first movie. And in, what's it called? In Force Awakens, they're not all together. And then in the next movie, they're not all together. So they're finally all together. In the last one, I'm like, hey, this is what Star Wars is supposed to feel like, even though they're the older new guys. So you finally get it. So then when I sat there, I said, oh, psh, 9's better than 8 and 7. Look at it. That's fun.
Nope.
Oh, no, it's not. It's a crap. It's a stupid story.
Well, that my favorite is still the ending because it feels very much like I feel like there was this period of time where the endings for all the movies were the same, and this one feels a lot like Endgame. And
it's like, oh, now all the ships come out of nowhere. Right.
Yeah, it's like, I am the Jedi. I am Iron Man.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, on your left, except for this time it's a bunch of ships coming out of nowhere. It's like,
oh, we're with you, Poe.
Yeah, and then if you remember, they did the same thing in Ready Player One. Do you remember Ready Player One?
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's good. It's,
is that when everybody shows up? Like
everybody shows
up. The DeLorean and
like,
Mario.
We need everybody here. It's the thing. And everybody shows up. And it, I'm like, it was great. It was like nostalgia porn. But like, it was great because you had all these really cool things. And then like, even was it? Now I'm getting the book confused with the movie. I think
the
it was Gundam.
It's different than the movie.
It is. Sorry. I think it's the
Gundam.
That's
the Godfather pair.
In the movie, podcast. And I think it was Voltron in the book, and I don't remember.
Oh, it's, hey, we couldn't get the rights to Godzilla, but this is the thing that looks like Godzilla.
Right.
What was that in? What was that? Oh, it was Austin Powers. He's like, it's Godzilla, but it's not.
But it's not.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Still, we should run like it is Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Well, we should still run, yes. But it's not
Godzilla. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the thing. But it was, yeah, and it was just that same thing. And everything was all summed up in the one guy, which I think is cool because, like, there's something about archetypes that the culture wants to tell the archetype story but doesn't know how.
Right.
so they end up breaking it with all these other weird things. But that was, for a while, every movie had it, right? You had all this big battle of these people coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you had everything summed up in the one guy at the very end. And that was just I've seen this movie before a lot of times recently.
Well, what's funny, too, is if you could think back to, they did do a lot recently. But I was going to say, you think back to about like a quarter, well, maybe two-thirds of the James Bond movies.
Oh, yeah.
There's a part at the end where it's like, oh, here come the Marines. And it's just like, because there's like, I don't know, the one, two, three, like the first three, it's like Bond fighting the bad guy. And then all of a sudden, here comes Thunderball. It's like Bond fighting the bad guy. But there's a big scene when the American Army comes out with all the scuba divers to fight the bad guy scuba divers. But then Bond still fights the bad guy. And it's like, okay, well, what do we do in the next movie? Okay, it's in Tokyo. Okay, all the Japanese Secret Service ninja guys come out and fight the bad guys. And Bond still fights the bad guy. And then in the sixth movie, they're in the Alps. What do we do? Well, all that mafia guy has a bunch of dudes. Send them out there and shoot up and have a big scene. So the seventh one, I don't think they do that, though. No. Oh, maybe they do. But, like, every so often, there'd be a movie where it's just like, oh, here come the Marines, and here comes the British Navy, and here's this giant battlefield of dudes who show up. But you still have, like you said, your archetype guy
right.
doing the stuff in the middle.
That everything, all the meaning and all the everything's supposed to be summed up in the actions of the one person.
Yeah.
But which is cool. We don't tell the story, right? But it's still cool, and I just think it's funny that that's we had a whole season that was the story that we were telling. And I don't know why that's the story we were telling, but that was the story we were telling. But that was, yeah. All right, you want to wrap this thing up?
Where's you, Poe?
Yeah.
Yes.
On your left.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, yes, listen to us on this show that you're already listening to us on.
Subscribe if you're not a subscriber.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram. I'm officially legal. I can talk about my job and, you know, things.
Things. So that'd be great. I know we have other stuff. We have guests that we want to get on.
Yep. And stay in there, guests. We'll get you in there.
Yes. I know we want to do some, what's it called? Some in-depth things, some personal things, and get, you know, be a little more serious. Then we also want to do lighthearted stuff because I think we're going to do a Robin Hood review.
Yeah, I know. Right, Manny? I feel like that's what this thing is. Like, we do, it's like an us and them. Like, episode we put out is for us just doing this, like this banter about whatever movie or stupid thing, and then the other one for the audience or the whoever it is that's out there. It's like, oh, here's this thing about small groups and confirmation and you know all these things. And so yeah, that's kind of our pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it works.
So hit us up. Let us know if you have stuff because only one person told us what they want to do. No,
we had that whole people wanted to know about the Archdiocese.
Well, those were questions. Yeah, so it was like a mailbag episode, but...
Yeah. Ooh, mail. Oh. Send us mail. I don't know how. Figure it out.
The Star Wars guys admit people have an actual mailbox when people send it to
them. Oh, that'd be great.
But they've had it for so long, it goes, it's in New York, and neither of them live in New York anymore, so there's like a friend who gets it for
them. So when they scan the mail...
They kind of take all the mail that goes in it, and if you send like Twizzlers or something, the guy will keep them, and then he sends the rest.
That's funny.
So it's cool. All right. So we'll talk to you soon. Hey, hey, hey.
Bye.
Now, do you want to record another outro because you want to cut this in half?
I'm going to cut this in half, but we don't have to have two outros. I just cut it randomly.
Oh, I know you do, but I didn't know if you want to have an outro for that.
Hey, hey, hey.
Do it, you run like it is, Godzilla!
Though it isn't.